Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, a Mexican hotel chain stumbles on a no-brainer holiday promotion, and Alaska Airlines flyers are about to get a more legroom option, probably at the expense of those in the back of the plane.
Planning a trip to the Big Apple anytime soon? Well, Mark is just back and has some tips for holiday travelers to New York City. That's coming up at 3:20.
There are lots of ways to purchase an airline ticket. Which one is best? Gwen Duncan joins us at 3:35 to discuss that very subject.
Rick Steves was in town Monday night to speak at the Crest and help promote public broadcast. Well, Mark sat down with him and got some thoughts on travel and the planet in general. Mark and Rick Steves at 3:50.
A busy Sunday afternoon as we work hard to make you a smarter traveler. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock must mean it's time for the Travel Guys here on KFBK. Welcome, everyone. I'm Tom Romano, to my left, extreme left, as far left I can't even see him, is Mark Hoffman, and we're brought to you by Sports Leisure Travel. Mark, by the tonality of your broadcast mic, you are not in the studio, and you are on the road.
I am on the road, and so as folks listen to the program, they'll hear some great interviews that we recorded earlier this week. But you are in the station. I am on a mystery tour, and this mystery tour is in Virginia. We are in Virginia Beach, Newport News, and headed up to Richmond later on today.
Well, as those that know anything about sports leisure vacations, you have these mystery tours. In fact, you have more than one, do you not?
We do. Three or four times a year, we take folks places where they do not know where they're going until they get there.
This is great. I mean, and I've talked to people that, you know, that know I do the Travel Guys, and they ask about it, and I love to tell the story about your mystery tours and what they're all about. And when I tell folks that you actually have people that will sign up to go on a trip with you, that they have no idea where they're going to go. I mean, you give them a little information as to how they're supposed to pack, I guess, and
That's
then
right.
And they put their faith in you. They throw caution to the wind and travel with Sports Leisure Vacations to destinations unknown.
That's
well,
exactly
now that you're actually at a destination unknown, why don't you reveal to us, where did you take people for the holidays?
Well, we took them to Virginia Beach in Virginia, three nights right out with oceanfront rooms. It's off-season there right now. So holiday lights on the beach, and then over to Newport News to see an event Saturday night called Holidazzle, which is all fireworks and craft shows and the community's big holiday festival. And then up to Richmond, Virginia, which some people already know is home to some of the tackiest holiday lights in the country. I say that in a good way. And tonight we're going to take our group out in Richmond and see some of these over-the-top holiday lights displays here in town with a local guide who will kind of bring it to life. And if all goes well, we're even going to meet one of the gentlemen who owns one of the over-the-top light display homes. So that should be a lot of fun.
That's great. Now, how did you discover this? Have you been there before?
I came to this destination on a travel industry meeting last year, and saw these hotels sitting on the beach and said that in early December, those people must be begging for business. And that was kind of confirmed. And so we went around and said, gee, we can put together a wonderful trip. But, you know, that's the thing is that and it's not just a tour company, you have a good travel agent. Those are people, a good travel consultant, people who can recognize that there are lots of destinations in the off season where the weather, you know, the weather here is very similar to Sacramento. So, I mean, it's not lay on the beach weather, but you can put on a jacket and enjoy a walk on the beach. And the hotel rates here are about $100 to $150 a night right now, as opposed to in season rates of $225 to $300 a night. So there's a pretty significant difference if you're willing to go a little bit off season, and then you have the advantage here. We went drove down the beach the other night, and all kinds of big holiday lights displays on the beach. Pretty cool.
Very, very cool. We are the Travel Guys, and at this time in the program each week, we do the travel news. Mark, what do you have for us from your travel news bureau today?
Well, let's whip through a few things quickly here, Tom. United Airlines is equipping.
Well, they might be whipping something.
Little Freudian slip there. United Airlines is equipping their representatives with iPhones. United announced this week that the company would begin equipping its customer service representatives with Apple iPhone 6 Plus phones in order to help agents meet the needs of passengers even quicker. Some of the agents will be roaming the airport. It's also possible that some of the flight attendants on board might be able to help resolve minor customer service issues by being able to communicate a little bit easier with the gate. So kudos to United Airlines for coming up with what sounds like a pretty darn good idea.
You know what I see? This is how it's going to go. Excuse me, flight attendant. My battery is dead on my iPhone. Can I borrow yours? I need to look something up.
The Department of Transportation has issued a notice to airlines reminding them that their companies are liable for damage to passengers' bags if it was caused during the transportation of the luggage. The statement adds that even if the airline does not believe it is liable for the damage in question, the companies must accept all reports of mishandled baggage from customers. So, you know, a zipper breaks off, something happens en route, you go to the baggage office at the airport, and they say, well, you know, we're not responsible for that type of damage. Well, turns out the Department of Transportation says you are responsible for that kind of damage.
Wow.
Including things like wheels, straps, zippers, handles, and other parts of luggage damage beyond what is considered to be normal wear and tear. You know, we've all sat on an airplane or sat in an airport and watched that bag fall 25 feet from the cargo hold to the tarmac and thought to ourselves, boy, I'm glad that wasn't my bag that just went for that trip. But apparently, the airlines may be held a little bit to responsibility for how they handle suitcases. Alaska Airlines has announced that they are creating a new premium class section similar to the Economy Plus and Comfort Plus sections that United and Delta have. American Airlines also has a similar section. Alaska's will be unveiled next year. It will offer several inches of additional seat room in the front of the coach section. The only thing that the announcement from Alaska Airlines doesn't tell us is where does that space come from?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, since they didn't announce that they're buying wider airplanes or longer airplanes or that they were taking seats off of airplanes,
right,
I'll let the listeners figure out. They're listening to this program right now, where that extra space for the people who are going to pay for it in the front is going to come from on Alaska Airlines.
Yeah, let's see. If you take 4 inches times about 50 rows.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, there and that's pretty much exactly what I'm going to suggest to you exactly what's going to happen.
Or we could say, I'm sorry, we do not have restroom service on this plane.
I mentioned in the headlines that a Mexican hotel chain has a no-brainer holiday promotion. Tom, I'm surprised nobody has thought of this yet. A Mexican hotel chain is offering rooms with decorated Christmas trees in them.
Well, nice.
Complete with fake presents, if that's what you would like to have, or you can bring your own presents and put them under the trees. And I'm just wondering, how come other hotels haven't thought of this? Lots of people travel at the holiday time, so why have we not heard about this before? Anyway, a Mexican hotel chain is putting this in three of their locations around Mexico City. So maybe we will hear about something like this in the States for the holidays before too long.
You never know. How do you feel about that? You want a Christmas tree in your room? The lobby's okay with me.
I will say no, but I can think of situations where people probably would very much enjoy something like that.
Then so again,
I think I kind of get it. If you were a long way from home and you were away from your family and stuff like that, that might bring a little happiness to
you. Hey, think about it. You and I, we're not thinking kids here. See, that's the problem.
Yeah.
You got kids and you got a hotel room with a tree. Holy mm-hmm. cow.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's something, right? Yeah, right away there. We found the answer. All right, couple of other quick little things here. Guess where some of the scenes for the new Star Wars movie were filmed, Tom?
Hawaii.
Death Valley.
Wow.
Exactly. The National Park Service is putting together a list of all of the places that you can go to in Death Valley to see where Star Wars was filmed. So bet that there are going to be more than a few people that are going to take them up on that. And here's another interesting. I found this to be really interesting. Somebody left 26 pounds of cocaine on an American Airlines flight.
Oh, jeez.
It went in for maintenance. This is absolutely true. Mm-hmm. The 757 was brought into the Tulsa, Oklahoma maintenance station for American Airlines for some routine maintenance, and the drugs in 10 separate packages were found by maintenance workers.
On board the plane. How did they get? Yeah, okay. I wonder how that happened. I think I'd be checking with, maybe those that put the luggage on the plane.
Yeah, exactly.
Not to point fingers. Let me use the word here. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Okay. And that is your travel news for today. And Thomas, one thing that we do need to do here, since the rest of the program has some really good interviews on it, we need to tell folks who our winner is today for the Sports Leisure Travel Card. It is a $300 travel card this week. Susan Loomis is our winner. Susan, if you traveled with Sports Leisure Vacations to New York City a couple of weeks ago, you have won a $300 travel card. If you would like to be eligible to win one of these travel cards, there's two ways to enter. One is by being on a Sports Leisure Vacations trip. The other way is to go to TravelGuysRadio.com website and fill out the little question form there and just head it up with entry. And if you put the word entry in the subject line, we will put you into the contest to draw next week. $300, Susan Loomis. Good luck to you.
And remember, when you visit TravelGuysRadio.com, you can get links to all of our special guests on our radio program today. Coming up, Mark and I are going to sit down. We're going to talk about traveling to New York City and all the fun stuff to do and how to negotiate it when you go to New York City at this time of the year. Keep it here. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's. It's Mark and Tom, the Travel Guys. Thanks for taking a few minutes out of your day to spend with us here. We're here every Sunday, by the way, from 3 to 4. And you
look so little like Santa Claus.
Well.
I mean, you came with the ho, ho, ho thing. And so I thought, well, at least maybe a hat.
Well,
or,
it was a,
you know, maybe
symbolic,
a fake beard or
symbolic ho,
like
ho,
that.
Ho.
Yeah, well, we are very close to Arden Fair Mall here, you know. So, I mean, that's... At least we are in the mix, so to speak, and the whole Christmas lights thing that's going on over at Cal
Expo.
Oh,
yeah, the Winter Wonder, Global Winter Wonderland.
Yeah.
Speaking of Wonderland, there's nothing like New York at Christmas time.
That's it. There is nothing like New York at Christmas time and at Thanksgiving time, almost at any time. But during the holidays, New York takes on a – is that my – that must
that's
be
your
the
lead-in.
Cue. Yeah, that's my lead-in.
Mark's going to talk about New York,
We went
folks.
To New York and took a group of folks, as we do over every Thanksgiving, got back a week ago Friday. Record temperatures in New York City. The warmest Thanksgiving day in 100 years, and the day after was the warmest day ever. It was warmer in New York City than it was in Sacramento on Thanksgiving day.
My daughter was there about a week before that, and she went thinking it was going to be that New York chilly thing, and she was dramatically surprised.
Well, it started out that way when we got there on Sunday, but by the time Thursday, and I took off a little early to get home to spend Thanksgiving with my family. But some observations. While I was in New York, I made a day trip up to Boston. And the only reason that's significant is because if you made a trip from Sacramento to Los Angeles and back in a day, when you got to Los Angeles, you probably culturally wouldn't notice a whole lot of things different about the people in Southern California and Northern California. You couldn't pick them up in a lineup. You can't decipher them from their accents generally.
True.
You know, there are a few things, but in general, I think folks from California, we all pretty much sound and look the same.
Right.
New York and Boston are a lot closer to each other than Northern and Southern California are
yes.
to each other. But I went up to Boston for the day, and I'm reminded that people from Boston are very different from people from New York. I mean, Bostonians and New Yorkers are dramatically different.
Yeah, well, New Yorkers, give me the Johnny, the what's his name?
The New Yorker thing? Yeah,
the pizza guy.
Yeah, the forget about it kind of thing.
And then you go to Boston.
But in Boston, it's a different kind of, it's in Boston, the people up there are more hard scrabble. You know, I think it's probably the weather that makes them that way.
Really?
But they're just, they're whiter. And I don't mean that as a racist comment. They're whiter because they don't get a lot of sunlight. And so no matter what color their skin, they're just a tone lighter than the rest of the planet because they're so far north. But they just, when I was up there, here it is in mid-November, the high temperatures in the upper 30s in Boston, and people are walking around in shirt sleeves and, you know, because it's not cold.
They're used, yeah,
it's not cold to them. Yeah. So anyway, we were supposed to talk about New York in this segment, not Boston. But I just
take a day trip to Boston.
Did have to hop up to Boston, and Boston is a great historical city too.
So for those that may be traveling to New York or would like to this time of the year, you were just there. What did you do? What's there to do?
Well, we were lucky enough to be able to stay at the Marriott Marquis Hotel in Times Square, which is if you can afford to pay the freight at the Marriott, which with tax is going to be $300 to $400 a night, then it's a terrific place to stay in a great location. You know, any place near, they've built a whole lot of hotels near Times Square now that are 5, 6, 7, 8 blocks away, which is not very far in New York. People do a lot of pedestrian. New York's a very pedestrian-friendly city, so there's a lot of Holiday Inn Express and Hampton Inns and a lot of these extended stay properties and stuff where you don't have housekeeping service every day that are less expensive, and they're the rooms are not big, and they're modern versions of old hotels is really what they are, but you can probably get into them for under $200. And still have the location. You can go into downtown New York or across the East Side and also get somewhat of a discount, although not as great of a discount as you used to be able to get. But, you know, January, February are coming up. January is a great time to go to New York City if you can stand the temperature. If you're a theater fan and you're going for the shows, then who cares about the weather outside? The theaters are all heated, air-conditioned, etc. Some of our group, I took a bunch of folks up to Lincoln Center to the Vivian Beaumont Theater up there to see the latest incarnation of The King and I, which they really enjoyed. Clayton went with some folks to see a new show on Broadway called Something Rotten, which is apparently, if I'm remembering correctly, about some playwrights who live in the time of Shakespeare and are trying to make their mark while William Shakespeare is making his. And
interesting.
Comedy ensues, and Clayton said that pretty much everybody in the theater laughed their tails off. So Something Rotten is the latest hot musical comedy on Broadway. Rumor has it that Disney is doing something that will involve the movie, you know, Frozen, and that's a couple years away.
Yeah.
But anyway, New York at Thanksgiving time is it's an incredibly busy place. It's if you're going to go, I suggest what we do every year is we go in the Sunday before Thanksgiving, because then there's a couple 3 days when the streets are not very full leading up to Thanksgiving Day, but the Wednesday before Thanksgiving Day, the Friday after, and then pretty much every day in New York until Christmas is a really busy time. A lot of people go there to shop. It'll be interesting to see, Tom, with more and more people shopping on the internet, if that will impact traditional shopping places like New York City. The windows were all up on Saks Fifth Avenue, the traditional Christmas windows, which were stunningly beautiful. And NBC, of course, has now lit the Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center. But when we were there, it was not yet lit. They were still putting the bulbs up, and they have this giant scaffolding. If you can picture a huge Christmas tree with scaffolding all around it, that's how they put the lights on and everything like that. That beautiful tree that they lit last week at Rockefeller Center.
Now, did you get a chance to visit the 9/11 memorial?
We did. That's become pretty much a part of New York itineraries and will be for a while. The museum it's downtown, of course, where the Twin Towers stood. The museum is quite spectacular. You need a couple of hours to go through it and see it. Bring a handkerchief, because it's possible that you might get a little bit perplexed somewhere along the way. That happens to most people. And now the observation deck is open upstairs. It's like $35 to go up there. They're printing money there right now. But spectacular views of all around, just like you used to get from Windows on the World at the old Trade Center. And of course, this one is even taller. So I highly recommend it. If you're going to New York City, you need to. This is the deal, Tom, how we make people smarter travelers. If you go into New York on your own, get your tickets in advance, time-dated tickets for the museum and for if you want to go to the observation deck, because then you don't have to wait in line. And, you know, and the lines can get kind of excessive at times. So make sure you have the time-dated tickets that you buy in advance. Same thing for the ferry out to Ellis Island and Liberty Island. You can buy those tickets in in advance. You don't have to stand in a line. New York City is a place that you kind of need an it helps to have an expert the first time you go there, or somebody to kind of show you the ropes. That really is important. But there are things that you can do, technology-based things. You know, millennials can make the trip easier, but there still are some traditional things that you need, some traditional knowledge that you have to get in New York City when you get there.
Now, for those, I mean, a lot of people that haven't been to New York City, they, you know, big crowds, it's kind of obviously a very big city, mm-hmm. A lot of stories in regards to personal safety.
Yeah.
I mean, what's that all about?
Well, you know, I guess there's two kinds of safety. There's a safety that everybody used to worry about when they went to New York City, i.e. getting their pocket picked or their stuff lifted or something like that. And those people are still around in New York or in any big city, anywhere on the planet. You have to pay some attention to your personal belongings. And surprisingly, an awful lot of people these days are more consumed with their cell phone or with texting than they are with their personal surroundings. And yeah. I'm going to suggest to you that's a bad thing.
Yeah, you run over.
Yeah, you need to know what's going on around you.
Yes,
I mean,
all
you
time.
Just do. All that's just smart. So it doesn't mean that
you see a lot of people on their phones wandering around New York.
Yeah, they're just wandering down the street, you know. And I mean, if they have a camera that's hanging from an arm, or a wallet's in a back pocket or something like that, they're kind of labeling themselves as a target. But I guess these days there are so many people who are doing that there's probably more targets than you would need if you were doing something like that. And the other thing that people concern about when it comes to security in New York is, you know, New York is kind of a target. Paris was a target. New York's been a target before. New York will be a target again. It's the center of the universe. Everything happens there for a reason, good, bad, and otherwise. And so that's why you have to be aware of your surroundings when you're in New York City. You don't go stupid places and do stupid things, but that's just common sense anyway. If you're in, like when we were back there at Thanksgiving, around the Marriott Hotel, lots of extra security, down at the dock for the Statue of Liberty cruise, lots of extra security, bomb-sniffing dogs, radar, radiation detection devices and mm-hmm. things like that. So they are taking some steps to try to make people safe, and as I just said a couple times earlier, to try to keep from being a target. You know, you want to not be the easiest target. You want somebody to say, that isn't going to be as easy. Let's go look at something else. So that's the whole plan, whether it's a city or a person in a place like New York City is, you know, you string your bag across your body and you put your wallet in your front pocket and you lock things in your safe in your hotel room, because there are a lot more bad people in New York City than there are in other cities. Doesn't mean everybody is bad, but it just means that you take some precautions that you wouldn't take in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Welcome. You've got the Travel Guys on your radio, whether you like it or not. Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for joining us. Visit TravelGuysRadio.com during, before, after the show. Follow along. We've got one of our favorite guests with us from Cordially Yours Travel, Miss Gwen Duncan.
We are here to talk about the ways that people buy airline tickets. And we know that there are a lot of different choices. You can buy an airline ticket online. You can buy it from a travel agent. You can buy it from an online travel agent, one that you've never met. You can buy a ticket, an international airline ticket, through someone called a consolidator. You can buy a ticket through a cruise line. If you're going on a cruise or something like that, you can say, sure, I'll take the extra super-duper cruise add-on airfare price of $198, and then you're disappointed because it's a red-eye with a six-hour layover that gets you there 9 hours before the ship sails. Why are you surprised about that? You only paid $198 for it. So those are just a few ways that I can think of that you can buy airline tickets. Have I forgotten any, Gwen?
No, I don't believe you have. I don't think you have, except that when you're buying, you can buy an airline ticket if you're going like international and you have some aspect of land, whether it's hotels or cars, then you can take advantage of bulk or contracted airfares.
So where do I go on the web for that?
Well, some of the ideas would be like American Airlines or United Airlines or Delta Airlines vacation products. That'd okay. be one place that you could
I
do
see.
It.
Or if you knew that, that's where perhaps having a travel professional, a travel agent, or someone who, like yourself, who books travel, who knows some of those. You know, in New York City, we were just talking about New York City in the last segment. In New York City, they say, you know, you got to have a hook. You got to have, they mean a connection. You know, you got to have, you got to know somebody to make something really happen. Well, travel is no different than anything, than real estate or stocks or New York City. Sometimes you need to know somebody. Sometimes knowing somebody is the fact that your sister works for the airline. You don't have a relative that works at the hotel or can get you a great rate or something. Then perhaps having a travel professional to be that person who is the hook. And again, and then you got to have somebody who really knows their stuff.
That's right. And the travel agents do develop relationships with different vendors. And these are vendors who will not sell to the direct public. And so that's kind of an advantage of working with a travel agent. If you're going to do a simple
So there
package,
are still things that are only available to people in the know.
Well, that's
right.
That's my question. I'm sure that, you know, you have great relationships with places to stay and cruise lines and so forth. But when it comes to booking airline fares, do travel agencies have an inside glimpse into any of that?
Oh, you mean to get special discounts themselves?
Yeah.
Only if they've done it in what is packaging. You're familiar with that.
Right.
I know that whenever you're negotiating something on, added value to the airline ticket, then you can get the bulk or contract.
Tom, the answer to your question is no. Mm-hmm. The travel agent cannot go online and see a ticket that you see for $489 and see it for $459. No, that's not possible. And because the airlines in general don't commission travel agents any longer, what they're paying for the ticket is the same as what you see it for. Now, when you get to what Gwen is talking about is if you're buying a package, let's say you had a family of six people and you wanted to go to Disney World in Orlando and you called Gwen up on the phone, she might be able to find a packager who had purchased some bulk tickets to Orlando through, might even be a regularly scheduled airline. Might not be an Allegiant or somebody like that. Might be United. You might go down and get on a United airplane. You might not get in the old days, although this doesn't happen as often now, but in the old days, some of those bulk tickets didn't include miles or they didn't include credit toward your status or something. And some of them are still that way, right?
Some, but many of them are giving you your air miles.
You still get.
In fact, some of them will get bonus, bonus miles.
So it's possible. The answer is, Tom, to your question is, it's possible to get a cheaper airline ticket as part of a package deal that, and we were talking before we went on the air, Gwen was giving us an example of somebody who called her. She got him a much better deal on the airline, but in the package deal, the room came out at $10 more than they could get it for themselves. So suddenly now they want to know, well, we'll just take the airfare. Not realizing that, it's a package. And
right.
In a package, you saved $100 a person. So how it shakes out in each individual component isn't as important as the fact that sometimes when you package these things together, then people don't have to reveal. The airline doesn't have to tell you, Tom, who bought a ticket for $489 on that flight, that they sold some of those tickets to somebody for $300.
That's right.
Who in turn sold them for $350.
Yeah, that's proprietary information. They won't divide
stuff
out.
Well, it's none of your business. I mean, the grocery store sells products. The Home Depot sells things to carpenters at a price different than what I pay when I walk in at the front door and pay for it, and I would expect that. So in the travel business, what you're saying is that there are some different ways, sometimes if you're buying a package deal, to knock that airfare and those hotel rates rather than buying them separately, that you might want to look at how can you buy them, package them together. Sometimes that's through the airline itself.
Yes.
Sometimes that's through the hotel.
That's right.
Sometimes it's through what we call a ground operator.
That's right.
And that's where the travel professional comes in, because if you've got a good travel agent, that person should know, okay, you're going to Costa Rica. I know somebody who's a good ground operator in Costa Rica who will get us a good deal. Or they should be willing to tell you, you're going to Poughkeepsie and I don't know anybody in Poughkeepsie. You're better off finding someone else or doing it yourself.
That's right. Something that's kind of interesting to know, too, is if you're going to a destination that is pretty popular and you're getting a really good price on the air and you've looked around for hotels and they're wide open, sometimes the package, the people will end up doing what we call throwaway hotel or throwaway car. You get the bulk airfare even if it's just a car rental, with minimum days. But we call them throwaway, so you can get the contract and never show up to the hotel or pick up the car.
That's kind of like throwing away the part of the airline ticket.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Right.
Yeah. We are the Travel Guys, by the way. This is Gwen Duncan. I'm Mark Hoffman. And on the other side of the room is Tom Romano.
Now, before we began the show, we were talking in the room here briefly about the best time to buy an airline ticket.
Uh-huh.
You two travel experts there. What's the latest?
The latest is that there really isn't anymore a good time. It used to be that you could say, well, the airlines don't buy a ticket on the weekend and wait for a sale to occur during the week. But now, Gwen, the airlines adjust fares 4 or 5 times a day.
Exactly. Now, when you buy it is different than when you plan on departing. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays are the best days to depart.
Right.
If you're flexible, then that could be really good.
And the reason for that is because Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday, fewer business travelers travel on those days. Tuesday and Wednesday are middle days of the week. Saturday's the middle day of the weekend. So Friday and Sunday and Monday generally are the toughest days. Thursday is kind of the in-between day.
That's right. That's right.
As terms of when to travel, both of you make a very good points here. When you're traveling is probably as important as when you buy the ticket, because if you travel Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, you will get a better price almost all the time than the guy who's flying on Monday and on Friday and Sunday.
That's right.
And for some time, there was talk that, you know, if you got near the departure time of a particular flight, there's this countdown by 30 days out, you're going to get a cheaper rate. And then with some airlines, there was this opportunity that if they hadn't sold the seats out, that you could get a good rate right near the very end. Is that true at all?
It is absolutely true.
Yes. In doing any kind of research with revenue managers, what I found is that a person is going to get their better prices when they do it as far out as possible.
Right.
However, as it gets closer, the airlines have to reevaluate what the revenue is. And it could be a discount. The same city pairs, leaving at 5 a.m. is going to give you a lot better price than if you left at 10, because that's a more popular city
pair. If you had to buy a ticket at the last minute, for example, we had two people in New York City the other day whose names were messed up, and we had to repurchase their tickets. Okay, and I won't go into great detail, but we had to buy tickets on the spur of the moment to get two people one way, New York to Sacramento. There were fares between $335 one way per person, which is $670 round trip, which is not all that bad, up to $1,000 one way per person. So in answer to your question is, when the closer you get into departure and you get within 48 hours of departure, you want to definitely look at all the major carriers' websites, because—
And their departure times.
You find somebody that's got a dozen seats left on a flight, and they're just going to say, look, we want to sell these seats.
Now, is that with all airlines? I've done a little poking around, and it seems that Southwest never does that.
Southwest is the one that seems to hold to the 21-14-7 3-day thing. But I have noticed lately, Tom, that some of Southwest fares have begun to have that little bit of a fudge level to them also. So when it gets close in, you need to take a look.
Once again, you're listening to The Travel Guys with Gwen Duncan and Mark Hoffman today. And Gwen, Mark, any final suggestions, any thoughts to our listeners in regards to two things, booking airlines and those packages?
One of the advantages, if you're going to buy into a package, if it's a bulk airfare, then you don't have to pay for it all at once. You don't have to pay for it within 24 hours. Sometimes it's within a couple of weeks, and sometimes it's only 3 or 4 weeks before departure. That's an advantage. Of course, everything that's low price comes with a caveat.
If you're flying on the holidays and you haven't bought your ticket yet, consider flying on the holiday itself.
Yes.
Consider flying on Christmas Day or as late on Christmas Eve as you can, New Year's Eve, early on New Year's Day. If there are flights available, if the airlines are operating flights, those are flights no one else wants, and those are the flights where the seats are going to be available. So if you have to go over the holidays at the last minute, look for oddball times.
Times as well as
to try
days,
to
yes.
and more and more airlines now, I see on the board in Sacramento, Southwest now has a flight leaving at 5:15 in the morning to Los Angeles. So 6 o'clock is no longer the sacred time. And it's harder and harder for the airlines to get people to come to the airport. It's practically a red eye plane if you're leaving at 5:15 or 5:30 in the morning. So look for those fares, because now we're seeing that sometimes on short hops, those early morning trips are cheaper.
Yes.
All right. Thank you both. We are the Travel Guys. Mark, what do we have coming up after the short break?
Well, Rick Steves was in town this week. He did a speaking appearance at the Crest on Monday night, and we sat down and talked to him before he made that speaking appearance. And that comes up right here next on the Travel Guys.
Thanks for joining us. We're the Travel Guys here on KFBK. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark, got a special guest that we're going to have on in a moment from a recording you did this past week. Tell us who we're going to be hearing.
Well, Rick Steves has been in the travel industry for a long time. He started out as a tour director. He now writes guidebooks for travel in Europe, and I think still escorts a couple of groups of people a year. And when, around pledge time, he's very connected to public radio and public television, so he was in town because KVIE is doing a fundraising drive this week, and also took time out to speak to a bunch of travel enthusiasts at the Crest Theater on Monday night.
Okay, let's take a listen. Mark sat down with Rick, and here's what we got.
Tom, I'm here with Rick Steves at the KVIE studios. Rick is doing some promotional work for KVIE today in preparation tonight for his appearance at the Crest Theater. Rick, you're going around the country making appearances in different cities. Tell us a little bit about your tour this year.
Yeah, the tour that most people know I do is going around Europe. I spend 4 months a year in Europe updating my guidebooks and leading tours and making TV shows. But I spend a lot of time when I'm here in the United States going from city to city during pledge drive season, reminding people of the importance of public broadcasting. And I just feel it's more important than ever that we have an alternative on the dial, an alternative to commercial media, one little oasis that respects our intelligence and assumes an attention span and is not driven by advertiser needs, but just by a passion for embracing life. And to me, that's what public television is all about. So I'm here in Sacramento helping support KVIE in their work.
You've had a long relationship with public television. I notice since 1991, you started a public radio program about 10 years ago. What is it that drives your connection to public broadcasting?
Well, I'm a teacher. I'm a tour guide. I'm a travel writer. And for me, it's a platform for me to amplify what I think is important about travel. So selfishly, it's just a great way to connect with a lot of people. If I learn something about Israel and Palestine, I can bring it home and share it with millions of people with a well-crafted TV show. If I want to go to Norway or Ireland or hiking in the Alps, I can have a wonderful time and go back the next year with my crew and collect all my favorite experiences and design that into a 30-minute program and bring it home, and people all over the country get to see it. So I just, for me, that's, you know, I mean, for 25 years, I was a tour guide taking 25 people around. Now I take a cameraman and a producer. It's a pretty small tour, but we're really taking millions of couch potatoes with us.
I was going to say, you're showing people the world through your own eyes. And I think in reading some of the things that you've written about your travels, you definitely have a travel philosophy. You have some feelings about travel and what its place in the world might be. I often talk to people and say, millennials have reordered travel. They have decided that experience comes before stuff. So they're out getting experiences, whereas previous generations were out collecting stuff at their age, and they've made the decision that they're going to travel more. And they will have those travel experiences to shape their lives, as opposed to some generations who have waited until late in their life. So, Rick, what are some of your philosophies about travel, or how do you feel about travel and the planet that we live on?
Oh, I think, well, when you think of the tension on the planet that we live on, I think it's more important than ever that Americans get out and get to know the other 96% of humanity. To me, travel helps you gain empathy for other people and their reality and their struggles. I think it's important for us to remember that we may have our economic crisis, or what we think is a crisis, but half of the planet is trying to live on $2 a day, and they would love to have our problems. I just think there's a lot of fear being peddled in our society these days. When I started traveling, you know, people said bon voyage. No, nobody says bon voyage. They say have a safe trip. I don't know where that came from. It's safer to travel, I think, than to stay home in most cases, if you really just know the statistics. But I think, you know, fear is for people who don't get out very much, and for me, the flip side of fear is understanding, and we gain that through our travels. I also like to, you know, challenge Americans to see that other societies are grappling with the same problems and difficulties that we are, and we can share notes and we can learn from other people. We don't need to become Scandinavians or Italians, but we can learn to consider their solutions as we look for solutions of our own. You know, I've been teaching for 30 years, and for the first decade, it was all about budget skills. I wrote a book called Europe Through the Back Door. The next decade, in the 90s, it was all about appreciating art and travel for art and history for travelers. I wrote a book called Europe 101, and I was teaching how to appreciate the culture. And then since 9/11, my whole passion has been to encourage and inspire, I hope, Americans to get out of their comfort zone and hang out with people who find different truths to be self-evident and God-given, and come home with the most beautiful souvenir, and that would be a global perspective.
You and I have both been in the travel business for about the same period of time. I've often said that I've been in the business business of making people's dreams come true for most of my adult life, and it's an incredible honor to be able to do that. Any thoughts about dreams, or do you have any travel dreams at this point in your life that are unfulfilled?
Oh, I love, by the way, when you say that we've been in the same work helping people make their travel dreams come true. I love the idea of helping people turn their travel dreams into what I call smooth and affordable reality. And for me, it's just heartbreaking is a little bit too much of a word, but it's frustrating when people who could be curious about the whole world spend their whole life going back to Orlando year after year after year, and it's sort of escapist travel, and it's just kind of la-la land, and that's fine. But, I mean, consider hanging out in a land where people speak a different language broadening it up. I just think that's really exciting. I've got all sorts of travel dreams that I'll never be able to realize. I mean, the world is an endless playground to explore. I love my work so much that if somebody gave me an all-expenses-paid cruise in the South Pacific, where I've never been and I'd love to go, I'd still rather spend that time in Europe working on my guidebooks. I just have a huge responsibility with writing guidebooks for every country and every great city in Europe, and I just love to make... That's my life's work, is to make those books better and better so people can learn from my experience and my mistakes rather than their own and have a better trip. And I see Europe as the waiting pool for world exploration, so if my readers can go to Europe and have a good time, I think that'll be a springboard for more adventures farther afield.
Excellent. Anything, any last thoughts before we go here for folks in Sacramento? You have been a tremendous supporter of public broadcasting, and I know a little bit about that passion. I think I agree with you. I think it's very important that for people to have this particular option available to them, and I think public broadcasting does some tremendous work, and I think our station here in Sacramento, I'm a little bit prejudiced, KVIE does a particularly good job. Mm-hmm. You've had a long relationship with these folks, and you feel very strongly about it. What would you say to folks out there who might be in a position to support public broadcasting?
Oh, media has never been more influential in wiring our outlook and shaping the brains, the minds of young people, the younger generation. And it's just so important that we have one little oasis on the dial that's not commercial, but that is public. And it's a whole giant topic and lecture to talk about how everything has become corporate and everything is monetized. And I just am thankful that with KVI, we're not numbers on some rating chart, but we're fellow citizens. And we're just we're embracing life rather than profit maximizing. I think there's powerful forces in our society that would find it profitable if we were all just dumbed down and became mindless producer consumers, and I don't want that to happen, and I think we need to be smarted up. I think a lot of media tries to dumb us down, frankly, but I know public television and public broadcasting, it actually angers major powers in our society because it makes us smarter and it makes us less malleable, and I think that's a very important thing, where a lot of us are very concerned about our safety, our national security, and our financial well-being. If you want to look at that in a long term and a sophisticated in a real smart way, I think a fundamental sort of a challenge for us is to have a smart electorate, and I want media to make us smarter, and that's one reason I really am thankful for the work of KVIE, and I know there's a lot of people in Northern California that understand that also.
There's a lot of news that the news from Lake Wobegon is just as important every week to some people as some of the other news. Rick, thank you very much for a few minutes of your time here at the studio Break a Leg in Sacramento tonight.
Oh, you're very welcome, and best wishes with your travels.
Well, there's a couple of guys that are extremely passionate about public television, if I do say so myself.
Yeah.
That was great. Do you use any of Rick's books, Mark, for any of your travel?
I'm mostly a domestic guy. I mean, I'm mostly a U.S. and Canada guy, so the fact that he's mostly Europe, no. And this was the first time I'd ever had an opportunity to meet him face-to-face. He's a very interesting guy.
And a hardworking guy, too.
Very hardworking guy. And you can tell that, as you mentioned, he has a passion for public television. He's running all over the country, but public television helps him sell a lot of books and stuff. So it's a good marriage, and he's found himself a home there. Good for him.
If you're just joining us, we are the Travel Guys here on KFBK every Sunday from 3 to 4, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, and you can find all the information about our show at TravelGuysRadio.com, as well as podcasts. Mark?
Next week, we'll have a holiday travel update for you. Probably check in with our friend John Holloway from Holloway Travel Outfitters, find out what the top things are on gift lists for travelers as we get closer to Christmas. That'll be next Sunday right here at 3 o'clock.
All right. Thanks for joining us. You stay well. We'll see you next week at 3 o'clock.
More traffic reports than any other station.